I'm on? Okay. Thank you, Matt. So I'm not going to be telling you about my thesis today. Instead, Matt asked me to say something about twisted K-theory. So I'm going to talk about twisted K-theory, more specifically twisted K-theory of Lie groups. So to start with, we'll just talk about what twistings are in general so that we're all on the same page, and then I'll sort of motivate twisted K-theory in particular, and then we'll get down to how one might go about computing twisted K-theory, and that'll occupy the bulk of the talk, and then I'll say a little bit at the end about twisted spin C-boardism, and then conclude with some remarks on mirror symmetry. Okay. So let's get started talking about twisting. So first of all, what's a twisting? Well, for a topologist, the easiest way to think of a twisting is that it's just a bundle of spectra over some base space. So twistings are bundles over some space X of spectra. And let's say they have the fiber is some spectrum R. And then given such a bundle of spectra, and I'll say more in detail more what this actually means later on, we can form the twisted R cohomology of X. And I'll actually define that later, but very roughly, it's just going to be homotopy classes of sections of this bundle. And so what are these? So one...
Done.
Say again?
Done.
Done. Yeah, well, excellent. I'm glad you think so. So one other point is that what are these twistings classified by? So they're classified by maps from X into the classifying space of the automorphism group of the fiber spectrum R. So these are classifying space of the homotopy automorphisms. Now, if R is some A infinity ring spectrum, then sitting inside here we have PGL1 of R, the classifying space of the homotopy units in R. And so there's some subset of twistings classified by maps from X to BGL1 of R, and I'll refer to these as elementary twistings. And most of the time when people talk about twistings, they're talking about elementary twistings. So that was just so we all know where we stand. So now let's talk about motivation. So there are lots of ways to motivate this, but I just want to say two things, talk about connection to Lie cohomology and also some motivations from physics. So first of all, from elliptic cohomology. So let's back up and do an analog of what I want to say in the case where we're just looking at twistings of complex cohomology. So suppose we had some elementary twisting of complex cohomology, some map from X to BGL1 of HC, the Allen-Burton-Klein spectrum. So this is very simple. It's just BC star. And I can map that into BS1, and then map that into Z cross BU. So what is this telling me? Well, it's telling me if I started with the twist for cohomology theory, I ended up with a K-theory class. So if I had some HC twist, then I got a K-theory class. But not just any K-theory class, for a special kind of K-theory class, namely a line bundle. And I'll denote, if my original twisting was called tau, I'll denote this line bundle by L of tau. Okay, so what's the analog? So if instead of starting with the twisting for HC, suppose we started with a twisting for K-theory. So some map, again, tau from X to BGL1 of the K-theory spectrum. Well, the BGL1 of the K-theory spectrum splits as a spectrum into two spaces, which I'll just call T and S, and I'll just tell you what T is. T is some KZ3 bundle over KZ21. So this is KZ3 twisted over KZ mod 21. And so I can project from this just to T, and the important fact is that T naturally maps into TMF. And in fact, well, Jacob told us something about how, in a certain sense, this CP infinity generates K-theory, and in some analogous sense, this little kernel T generates TMF. But I won't go into that. But the point, again, is that if we start with some twisting of K-theory, what we get is a TMF class. So if we started with a K-theory twist, then we got a TMF class. But not just any
TMF. Function if I don't know what TMF really is?
Say again?
How do I function now if I don't know what TMF is? Oh,
don't worry. TMF won't play a big role in this talk. We'll be done with it in a moment. I'm not going to worry about that, but uppercase is what I wanted. But it's not just any TMF class, it's what one might call an elliptic line bundle. And I'll again denote it by L of T. One other thing. What? Yeah, I'll tell you in just a sec. So one other thing that I meant to say up here was that, of course, given this twisting, I can form the twisted cohomology of X. And more commonly, we just think of that as the cohomology of X with coefficients in that complex line bundle. Similarly, here, well, let me say a little bit more about what this thing is. So suppose, for example, that I started... Say again? I just mean usual twisted cohomology, like first algebraic flat connection, yeah.
Where does it come from?
It comes from the fact that I pulled the wool over your eyes, and this is actually C star with the discrete topology, which is why I put a map here instead of an equal sign. So if I'd started instead with some, if I'd started with some KZ2 principal bundle, P, over my space X, classified by some map to KZ3. So I'm thinking here, I'm just looking at a very particular kind of twisting. Not only is it an elementary twisting, but it's mapping just into this one KZ3 piece. Well, what is this principal KZ2 bundle? Well, KZ2 is the classifying space for line bundles. So another way to think about this is that it's a stack over your space X that's locally equivalent to the category line, which is just the category of line bundle. But what's another way to say that in, you know, parlance these days? Well, we would just say it's a two-line bundle, which is to say it's a particular, very special kind of two-vector bundle. But, of course, if you believe various suggestions, two vector bundles might have something to do with elliptic cohomology. I don't want to really say more about it than that, but we might, you know, concluding motivation, say that this twisted... Well, so this is the classifying space for line bundles, so say sections, local sections of this principal bundle classify some... look locally, you know, if we trivialize this principal bundle locally in X, the sections would be given by line bundles locally. So the sections would be the category of line bundles locally, but not globally. So anyway, just summing up, we could think of twisted K-theory just as K-theory with coefficients in this elliptic line bundle. Okay, so I think that's all I want to say about that. Let's move on and talk about some motivations from physics. So, Eric's talk earlier today set this up very nicely. So, what are D-brains? Well, he told you, among other things, that they're boundary conditions in string theory. And, well, he told you a lot about them. So, you know, in the same way that particles have charge and they affect the dynamics and they emit fields. D-brains are just the same way, except instead of having integral charge, they take charge in twisted K-theory. Well, really in twisted K-homology of X, where X is now the space-time, sort of the ambient manifold. And I should note at this point, so in Eric's talk, he was only talking about D-brains in the B-model. And whenever I refer to D-brains in this talk, I'm thinking of a much more general class of D-brains, and we'll come back to that later. But I just want to make one other... Say again? Yeah, so what's the twisting here? Well, the twisting is what these physicists call the Nouveau-Schwartz H-flux field. And I'm not a physicist, so... Well, Jack seems to like that. Yeah, right. So, I mean, I can't tell you why the string theory side of it, but anyway, so there's a slight refinement. So instead of thinking of D-brains as living in twisted K-theory from a topological point of view, there's actually a refinement where given a D-brain, we can associate a class in what's called the twisted spin-C Bordism group of space-time, and then further map to the twisted K-theory. And as I said at the beginning, I'll come back to twisted spin-C Bordism if there's time. Twisted spin-C Bordism?
No.
I mean... I wouldn't even swear that the physicists would think of this as the proper I think this is what I said, but you use the term at your own risk. Well, yeah, there's some debate over that. I used to call it a B field, and anyhow, so let's get to work. So we want to be able to actually compute these spaces as these twisted K-theory spaces. So, well, we can't quite get to work yet, so we better discuss some background, specifically some background on twisted homology theories in general. And I'll try to keep this brief, but I think it would be useful, especially if you haven't seen cohomology with coefficients in a bundle of spectra. So, again, the situation is that we're going to be given some bundle of spectra over X. And most naively, what that means is that I have a sequence of spaces, F sub I and E sub I, which are space bundles of spaces over X, and I have fibroized structure maps in the usual way. I won't bother writing it down. So, you know, what's the usual thing? If you wanted to define the Fn cohomology of X, it's going to be homotopy, well, it's a co-limit over homotopy classes of sections from X to the ith loop space of F I plus N. But I can rewrite this as the co-limit over the homotopy classes of sections of X of the trivial bundle X cross the loop space, the ith loop space of F I plus N. And
direct.
And so then that naturally suggests what I should take to be my definition of cohomology with coefficients in this bundle of spectra, namely, I'll just denote it by the total space, E sub N is going to be the co-limit over the homotopy classes of sections of X of now the fiber-wise ith loop space of the total space E I N plus 1. And I should note that, I mean, this idea of taking homotopy classes of taking cohomology with coefficients in bundle spectra has sort of been folklore for a long time, but I learned about it from Goodwillie. So similarly, we have an analogous thing in homology. So if we wanted to find the Fn homology of X, it would just be... Say again? We did. That's what this gamma sub H is.
Oh, yeah.
Homotopy classes of sections. Yeah. So then for homology, we just take homotopy class of maps from S I plus 1 to F of X cross I mod X. And similarly, the analog is clear. the twisted homology of X is now going to be the co-limit of homotopy classes of sections from Si plus N to Ei mod X. Okay. So that's all I want to say by way of background. I'm writing the base and then the bundle. So this is a bundle over X, and I'm taking sections over X as this bundle. So this is homotopy classes of maps, and then this is homotopy classes of sections.
Oh, you let F and B that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so there are no sections here. Now, we're just taking homotopy classes of maps from a sphere into EI cross X. Now, I didn't tell you, which is why you might be confused, that these are, they're bundles of spectra, and spectra always have a base point. So these are bundles, if you want, of base spectra, but you don't need to say base because that's implicit. So there's always a section. So you have a canonical section, and you just mod out by that canonical section. Yeah. Okay, so now we can actually define main object we're going to work with, which is this twisted K theory in the particular situation we're thinking about, which is the following. So we're going to start with some map tau from X to KZ3, and as we've discussed before, this classifies some KZ2 bundle over X, so KZ2, I'll denote it, say, P of tau, sitting over X. And so now we form an associated K-theory bundle as follows. So now we are going to form a bundle of spectra where the total space is going to be P sub tau cross over KZ2 with the K-theory spectrum sitting over X. So what do I need to tell you? Well, I need to tell you how this KZ2 acts on the K-theory spectrum. And I'll just do this very roughly. So where this we need some action of KZ2 on K. And roughly speaking, we just take a line and we take a virtual dimension zero vector bundle and we tensor them together, L tensor V. And there are lots of ways to spell that out, but I won't say more than that. So we now, let me call this bundle, this the total space of this bundle, E sub tau. So then we can define so we can actually make our definition, which is that the twisted K cohomology of X is just going to be the cohomology of X with coefficients in the bundle of spectra I just defined, as I told you over there. And I want to make a quick alternate definition, which won't be important for this talk, but another way to define this is as maps from P of tau, this principal bundle, into the K-theory spectrum, but we demand that they be KZ2 equivariant. This definition is very nice because it leads to a nice notion in algebraic geometry. So you can generalize this definition to a definition in algebraic geometry in terms of perfect complexes of alpha twisted sheaves, which gets around the usual problem in algebraic geometry of having to have torsion twisting classes. So if you think of it this way in topology, then you have a notion in algebraic geometry that doesn't require your torsion classes to be twisting.
But that subscript KZ2
this means equivariant, KZ2 equivariant, yeah. Okay, so we have, yeah, so now we need a way to compute. So what's our primary tool is going to be the twisted Rothenberg-Steenrod spectral sequence. So let me first talk about not the usual Rothenberg-Steenrod spectral sequence, but so the Rothenberg-Steenrod spectral sequence that I want to use actually is due to Siegel, so maybe we should be calling it the Rothenberg-Steenrod-Siegel spectral sequence. But it's for when you want to do the usual construction in an arbitrary category. So what's the data? Well, we're given some simplicial object F dot, which is some in some category. And this category can be almost anything, if it were, but we need to have some notion of homology on the category and also some notion of realization. And in our case, as I'll say in a moment, it's going to be the category of spaces with a bundle of spectra. So the point is that given such a simplicial object, we have a spectral sequence whose E2 term is equal to, the homology of E sub Q, where E is the homology theory in our category, of the simplicial object level-wise, and it's going to converge to the EP plus Q homology of the realization of this. So, so this category comes equipped with some notion of homology of an object, and that's what I'm denoting by E. And I'll say I'm going to specialize in a second to the situation I'm interested in, and you'll see what I mean. Okay, so So the category I'm interested in is particularly, so for us, our category is going to be this curly K, and this is going to be the category of pairs of spaces X together with a bundle of spectra E. So E is some, and it's going to be a bundle of K-theory spectra, so it's a K-bundle on X, which means that in particular the homology theory in this category is going to be twisted homology. And this is how we're going to construct a spectral sequence converging to twisted cohomology. I should say that the initial suggestion that there should be a twisted Rothenberg-Steenrod spectral sequence that would be useful in this context is due to Mike Hopkins. And so anyway, the morphisms in this category are just going to be fiberwise homotopy equivalences. Okay. Any questions? So, so I'll actually specialize now to the case that I'm interested in, and tell, which is to compute something about Lie groups. So, in order to actually give it a spectral sequence, I've told you the category, but I need to tell you a simplicial object, and we'll go from there. So, the particular example I'm interested in is the following. So I'm going to start with some twist, which is actually just going to be an integer in H2 of the loop space of some Lie group with integer coefficients. So this is transgressed from some twisting on the base space G in H3. So this corresponds to some line bundle, which I'll denote L to the minus K over the loop space, and that'll be useful in a minute. And I need to give you a simplicial object. So it's going to be the following. It's going to be, so normally if you were building some Rothenberg-Steenrod spectral sequence to compute the homology of G, you might start with the homology of the loop space and then use a bar construction to write down B of the loop space, which is equivalent to G, and then you have a spectral sequence converging to the homology of the group itself. And that's exactly what we're going to do, only we're twisting it up in this strange category. So to indicate that, I'm going to note B sub tau of loops G suggests the bar. And in fact, it is going to be a bar construction. This is just going to be the two-sided bar construction, geometric bar construction, in this category of the loop space with two points, only one of them is going to be twisted. So what on earth does that mean? So, here's what I mean by that. So when I say loop G as an object in my category, I just mean loop G with a trivial bundle of K-theory spectra. Similarly, a point obviously has a trivial bundle of K-theory spectra. So I just need to tell you what the morphisms are in my category between each of these. So on the one hand, I have my trivial bundle loop G cross K. I can just project to K. And this is a morphism from loop G to a point in my category. And that defines this point. But the nice thing about this category is even when you have the morphism space between trivial objects is actually still quite interesting. And so on the other hand, if I had loop G cross K, I can instead map by the twist cross the identity to KZ2 cross K, and then use my action of KZ2 on K, and I have a different map from loop G to a point, and that defines my twisted point. Okay? So now I've told you actually everything you need to know to go home and compute these groups yourself, right? Right. What? You don't know? Well, in case you're doubtful, let's spell out what the spectral sequence looks like in a little more detail. Yeah. Yeah, so... Right, so that's a good question. So, and I didn't spell this out very well at the beginning, but what I actually mean is that that's just shorthand, naively at least, that's shorthand just for a whole series of spaces which are bundles over the base space together with fiberized structure maps. So, do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's spell this out. So I need to... Well, No, I'm not going to, but I'm happy to later. I thought about doing it, but it's a little bit involved. But I'll tell you the answer right now. So in order, if we did what Stefan's suggesting, it would allow us to get an explicit handle on the E2 term and on the E infinity term, which is what we need to see what our spectral sequence looks like. And the two things that are involved in that, on the one hand, we have this map from omega G to the twisted point, and we need to understand what that map is doing in homology in this category, i.e. in twisted homology. So I'll denote that just by this curly K. So we need to understand what this map is, and I'll tell you, well, both sides have trivial bundles. So the twisted homology of both sides is just the usual K homology of the loop space mapping to the K homology of the point, but it's not the usual map, it's a twisted map. And what is that twisted map? Well, it takes the class C to the Kronecker pairing of L to the K with C. And that's sort of the thing you'd be able to figure out if you just sat down and wrote down the bar complex and looked at what was happening on the bundles of spectrum. And so the other thing we need to decide is what the realization of this twisted... Yeah, curly K I mean to denote the homology in my category, which means just homology in the bundle of spectra associated to whatever space you have. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So this realization, well, as a space, it's just the bar complex on loop space, so it's just the group back again. So as a space, it's just a group. And all we need to do is identify the bundle of spectra. And the bundle of spectra is just going to be E sub tau, which hopefully is what I called this bundle determined by the twisting tau over there. So sort of my canonical bundle spectra over G determined by a class in H3. I mean L to the minus K, and why, I'll tell you later on. It's sort of a sign point, but it makes my life easier later. Yes, my group is going to be as nice as you want. Yeah. Okay, so now finally, what does our spectral sequence look like? It looks like this. We have the E2PQ term is equal to TOR over the K homology of the loop space, the PQ TOR, of the K homology of a point, together with the K homology of a point, but with this twisted module structure, and it's converging to the P plus Q twisted cohomology of the group. Yep. Yep. Yeah, this was just to help us identify the spectral sequence. In theory, I'd given you a simplicial object in a category, so I have my spectral sequence. I was just helping you out figure out what the E2 and the infinity terms were. Okay, so... So the E2 term is given by the homology of some complex, which is determined by the homology of the simplicial object level-wise. So I needed to figure out what the maps, you know, I had some maps in this simplicial object. I need to figure out what they induced in K star homology, i.e. in the homology of my category, in order to figure out the homology. So I was computing for you what the maps induced in K star were from the maps in my simplicial object. Okay, so I think we have everything we need now. We have our spectral sequence, so now we can have fun computing. I don't know about you, but whenever I want to do a fun computation, I cozy up to G2. So let's talk about G2. Good. So what's the first thing we need? Well, let's look at our spectral sequence. Well, we'd better know what the K, what we're computing Tor over. So we'd better know the K homology of this loop space. So that's our first step, which is going to be figure out the K homology of the loop space. Well, I'll tell you what it is. K homology of the loop space on G2 is a polynomial algebra in three generators, which I'll call A, B, and X, and there's one relation, A times A plus 3 minus 2B. So if you wanted to figure this out, how would you do it? Well, you'd go home and you'd figure out the homology of G2, and then you'd use an homology Eilenberg-Mohr spectral sequence to compute the homology of the loop space on G2, and then you'd use an Atiyah-Herzberg spectral sequence to get at the K-theory loop space on G2, and somewhere in there you have to solve the multiplicative extension, which is definitely non-trivial. But I'll just leave it at that. But if we want to actually compute this Tor group, it's not enough to know just the K homology. We really need to know what these modular structures are over this K homology group. In order to do that, we're going to need some explicit handle on these classes, A, B, and X. So we really need some way of getting representatives for these K homology classes.
What's the ring structure?
As written.
What is
Oh, induced by the fact that this is a group.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, so how are we going to get representatives for these K homology classes? Well, this is where Bott comes to the rescue. So we have this loop space on G2, and there's wonderful algebraic variety that maps into here, which is G2 mod U2. And this is called a Bott generating variety. And it's called a Bott generating variety because the image of its homology or its K-theory generates the homology or K-theory of this loop space, respectively. So a priori, we know that these classes we're looking for come from classes over here. Okay? So first of all, I'll call this map I, but let me just tell you what this map is because it's so simple. If I have an element G, I'm going to map it to GL, G inverse, L inverse, where L is some loop, some fixed loop in the group. Which loop is it? Well, it's this one. So this is the root lattice for G2. And there's a co-weight sitting right there. And I just take a straight line from 0 to that generating co-weight. That's my loop. All right. So, and of course, but some there are things that centralize that loop, namely the things that are perpendicular to that loop, which is precisely a U2 sitting along that line. I see some nods, so that's good. So that's why it's well defined on this quotient here. Now, but there's a nice subvariety even of this variety. So one is SU3 mod U2, and there's a subvariety sitting in there, which is SU2 mod U1. And I'm going to call these three subvarieties respectively V1, V2, and V3. And then I can just take, so those varieties have K-homology fundamental classes, and I can just take the image of those fundamental classes under that map I, and that defines for me K-homology classes in my loop space, and they're the ones I'm interested in. So I define suggestively named A to be I star of the fundamental class of V1 minus 1, and B is I star of V2 minus 1, and X is going to be I star of V3 minus 1. And if you wanted to, you could check that these do in fact generate the ring with the relation as described. Probably you'd want to do that by comparing a T of Hertzsprung spectral sequences of the generating variety to the loop space. But
ten real dimensional.
So, okay. So now we have our elements explicitly represented by algebraic varieties, and we better compute these module structures. That's why I said we wanted these representatives. So I'll just refer to this map to the twisted point as the twisting map, so we better compute this map. So what's the general setup that we're in? Well, we have some loop space, loops on G, and we have some map from a homogeneous space G mod H, which I'll call Z, and we're interested in the image of the K-homology fundamental class of V. And somewhere here, hopefully, right here, I told you what that twisting map was. So now we can go ahead and compute it. So we want to compute the Kronecker pairing of L to the K on I star of the K homology class of V. Well, first of all, I certainly can just rewrite that as the pullback of K evaluated on the fundamental class of V. Then I can take the Chern character to turn this into a homology computation. So that's equal to the Chern character of I star L to the K cup with the Todd genus of V, now evaluated on the homology fundamental class of V. And then I can rewrite this in terms of sheaf cohomology, just as the alternating sum, minus 1 to the I, of the rank of the ith sheaf cohomology of V with coefficients in I star L to the K. And that's the content, of course, of Hertzsprung-Riemann-Roch, and so it's very important that V was some complex algebraic variety. But we're not done yet. What's this? Well, this is just equal to the dimension of a particular irreducible representation of G, namely the one determined by this bundle, this line bundle, I star L to the K. And that is the content of Bott's theory of holomorphic induction. And that step also depends on the fact that the weight corresponding to this bundle is dominant. So it turns out that this is L. And if I'd picked the other sign back there, as Ralph asked about, I would have ended up with L to the minus K at this point. It wouldn't have been a dominant weight. It all works out. It's really just a sign choice. But then it's more complicated because you have this, well, it's the holomorphic induction procedure is more complicated. I won't go into it. So now we're in business, because now we have the images of our classes under this twisting map written in terms of the dimensions of certain irreducible representations. And now you have some fun with the Weyl character formula, and we end up with the following result in this particular case, that we have that A maps to, well, I'll just tell you what the answer is. It's k plus 1 minus 1. I write it this way because k plus 1 is the dimension of some irreducible representation of SU2. And then B maps to k plus 2 choose 2 minus 1. And X maps to something a little more complicated because now it's an irreducible representation of G2. It's k minus 1 times k minus 2 times 2k plus 3 times 3k plus 4 times 3k plus 5 all over 120 minus 1. Anyway, you get the idea. You can have fun checking those at home. So we are ready to do our TOR calculation. We have all the ingredients. We've computed this, we've computed the module structures, so now we just need to run the spectral sequence. So, so the last step is this TOR calculation. So I should say this step three, I mean, I chose G2 because I thought it would be a fun example, but this technique doesn't actually work on all groups. In fact, it only works on G2 and SUN, and you need to be a bit more inventive when you're dealing with the other groups, especially with spin and SP and so on. But similar sorts of techniques will work to allow you to compute this twisted module structure, which is sort of the main ingredient going into the spectral sequence. So then we can do our TOR calculation. I'll just tell you what the answer is in the interest of time. So this TOR over the K homology of G2 of the thing we had before. Well, I won't even bother writing out what the... So I'll just tell you in words, if you use some Tate resolution, you can write down what this TOR group is as the homology of some differential graded algebra. Now, you might think that computing the homology of differential graded algebras is easy. That's what I thought, too, until I tried to do this computation for spin n. And it turns out to be extremely involved, actually. And so you end up having to use sort of an iterated series of what I call filtration spectral sequences. Well, that's what anyone calls them, I guess, to compute the homology of this DGA sufficiently complicated. And there's a very nice way to encode all this whole series of spectral sequences as one big spectral sequence indexed over a lattice instead of over the integers. But I'm just talking. So the answer is that we end up with a group, which is Z mod the GCD of, I didn't name, but let's call these three constants C1, C2, and C3, respectively. Cyclic group, which is the GCD of those three integers, you believe that we can do the theorem. So